Okay, we are in beginning chapter 6. Chapter 6 goes back to the storyline. Chapter 1, we introduced the animal soul. Chapter 2, we introduced the godly soul, saying that it's a veritable portion of Hashem. Chapter 3, we discussed the composite of the godly soul of the 10 spheroids. Chapter 4, we discuss how the soul is manifest in the body through the three elements. So in chapter 6, he's going to talk about the forces of evil basically as being the source of the animal soul, which he mentions in chapter 7. And so 6, 7, and 8 talk about the forces of evil and what to do about them.
Fair enough.
Okay. So in chapter 6, he says, "Hinizelu mazeh aselokim." This is this one opposite this one has God made. This is in reference to the prophecy that Shem gave Rachel, Rivka, excuse me, when she went and said, "Hey, what's going on in my insides over here? Every time I want to go past a brothel or a base of Avodah Zorah, I get this kicking over here, and every time I walk past the tents of Shem and Aver, I get this kicking going on. What, I got some kind of schizoid kid going on inside of me?" And it's very perceptive of her, because a science has now found that indeed a fetus is responsive to its environs and surroundings.
Right.
And Jews have had these kind of things, like a pregnant woman shouldn't go to the zoo, a pregnant woman shouldn't go to a cemetery, because of ill possible effects that it might have. And there's a whole story in the Gemara in Yom Kippur with it says that if a woman is seized by a ravenous hunger and says she has to eat, it says we whisper into her ear, "Today is Yom Kippur," and if that abates the hunger, then fine. But if not, then we feed her, because it's the fetus doing the talking. And the fetus says, "I need to eat. I absolutely have to eat."
Right.
And the story goes that there were two women in shul one year, and they both said, "I need to eat." And they whispered in one woman's ear that it's Yom Kippur, and her hunger abated. And the other one, the hunger did not, so they fed the second woman. The mother of the first one, whose hunger abated, was the mother of Rabbi Meir. And the mother of the one whose hunger didn't abate wound up being a person who hoarded sabbatical grain and sold it at a higher price. So it's not that he ate that's why he was the way he turned out. He was the way he turned out, that's why he ate on Yom Kippur.
Right, correct.
Okay, so there is already the personality of the fetus is already showing up in utero.
Interesting.
Okay, so this then, so what this verse means and what the idea is that the forces of evil and the forces of holiness are in a state of equilibrium, but it's not in a constant state, but it's constantly one trying to overcome the other. And as one is getting stronger, the other is getting stronger. When one gets knocked down, then the other one gets knocked down. It's in constant state. This is, someone told me before I was married that under the chuppah, you're given an extra measure of Yetzer Tov, because you're getting married now. But then he said, but you're also given an extra measure of Yetzer Hara too.
Perfect.
Because, you know, so you're up a level now that you're married. So the world is always in a constant battle. If you look at the world, though, if you put it on paper, there would be a lot more evil in the world than there is good.
So I perceive.
Okay, evil and good, I don't like the words because of the Christian words, but there's there's a lot more Sitra Achra in the world than there is Kedusha.
Kedusha, correct.
Quantitatively.
Yes.
Why? Because the expression goes, a little light dispels a lot of darkness.
Right. So
you only really need a little bit of Kedusha to counterbalance the effects of the Sitra Achra. Hence, 16 million Jews and 7 billion non-Jews have the world in equilibrium.
Interesting.
As we see that, for example, it's talked about the parallel between Noach's 70 sons, who became the 70 nations.
Right.
Parallel to that were the 70 souls that went down to Egypt.
Right.
So there's only 70 people in Jacob's family to counterbalance the effect of all the 70 nations.
70 nations, right.
Correct.
Okay, one per nation.
Now, I don't know how many people were around back then. It was
whatever.
It was probably just several hundred million, but...
It's fair enough.
So there is this constant battle, and there is... Go ahead.
Can we learn this out from the equation? Is it from Tehillim? It's not from Tehillim. It says one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000. Can we extrapolate that there? Is that an extrapolation?
Yeah, you could.
Yeah. Okay.
You could.
Okay.
The
if it's exponential by two, that perhaps if you can learn that out, that you could probably...
Okay, if you're going to go 14 million to 7 billion, the numbers are not exactly going to jive, but...
Probably not, but anyway...
Yeah, you get the idea.
Yeah, but then... Okay.
Likewise, there have always been, wherever there was like a great leader in Kedusha,
yeah,
there was a great leader in Lumaza.
Yeah.
You had Moshe.
Right.
You had Bilam.
Right.
You had Avraham. You had Parai.
Right.
Okay, I don't know. You go through the, you know, who was the rabbi? That I can't answer that question. Sorry, maybe the Dalai Lama. Who knows?
Maybe.
If it's the Dalai Lama now, so who's Umas the Dalai Lama? You know, so can't judge that. The ones about Moshe and Bilam, so that I know because we're told.
Sure, sure.
You know, so they're going to start speculating. You know, the rabbi never mentioned. By the way, I'm Umas this guy over here.
Exactly.
You know, so but there is always that counterbalance, even in to such a level.
Makes sense. Only makes sense.
Okay. So he says. So the world is in its absolute state of equilibrium. Just as it is that you have a godly soul, which is included of 10 spheres of holiness. And it clothes itself in three holy garments of thought, speech, and action. So too also, the animal soul, which we said before, comes from Klippa in chapter 1. Hamlubeshes bedam ha'adam, which finds itself in the blood of the person. Kalula me'esik sarindami savusa, are comprised of, the animal soul is comprised of 10 crowns of impurity. Now, that doesn't say 10 spheroids.
10 crowns.
It says 10 crowns of impurity. What's the idea of a crown? A crown refers to an encompassing light. The forces of evil exist because Hashem wants them to exist.
Agreed.
But they don't exist because they are the reason for the world's existence.
They're a means to an end.
Correct. They exist because if the Almighty wants us to have freedom of choice, so then there has to be
a
necessary of a choice to be created. So it's not that Hashem wants to have the evil.
Right.
Hashem wants to have the good.
Right.
Hashem wants the Kedusha, but Kedusha cannot be recognized unless the Le'umazeh, the opposite forces, are also recognized.
Right.
So that means that their life force is only going to be a tertiary life force. God didn't create the world for evil. He wants them to be here. So they're there, they're getting life force in a superficial manner. Kedusha gets its life force
directly,
straight.
Yeah.
Through the creation process, step by step by step.
Right.
Le'umazeh gets its life force through what's called histalshalus aksarim. Histalshalus aksarim means, you know, the histalshalus means the descent
right.
of kesarim from one level of will to the next level of will.
One level of will.
Now, will is... Unlike, say, understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You can understand something a lot.
Right.
You can understand it a little bit.
Okay.
You can say, I kind of sort of got it, or you can say, yeah, I got it.
Right.
Okay, there's different levels of understanding. Right. When it comes to will and desire,
it just an is thing.
Either you want it,
or you don't.
Or you don't want it.
Yeah.
You can't say, I want it a little bit. Saying it, I want it a little bit, means I don't want it at all. But understanding, under the circumstances, I understand that this is the best I'm going to get. Okay, so I'm willing to compromise, but I don't want it. So what does that mean then, if we're saying that there... So what happens is desire isn't decreased, it just becomes more pinpoint. I'll give you a fair example.
Pinpoint.
Okay?
Okay.
You live in your house has got brick around it?
Yep.
Okay. Can I come over to your house this evening after the class? I have a stone chisel and a good mallet. I just need one brick. Can I go just to the back of your house, and I want to chisel out
one brick?
One brick. That's all I want.
One brick. Right.
Can I do that, please? No, I can't.
I'd prefer you didn't. But
I cannot do that.
Okay.
Because why? Because you don't want a house with one brick missing.
Correct. Yes.
You have never thought about that brick.
Not at all.
But you want that brick there. Why? Because there's a big picture.
Because it's part of a whole.
There's a big picture. The big picture is you want a house.
Right.
Okay? And every single detail of that house
that makes it that
comprises
house. The house.
The big will and desire.
Right.
So the desire for that brick, it's not that you want that brick any less than you want the house.
Right.
Because what happens is, if that brick is missing, that's not the house that you want.
The brick becomes a focal point.
Exactly. The the missing brick has ruined the whole entire desire. You don't want that house at all.
All right, okay.
You want the house with all the bricks.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, so now, what happens with our godly, with our animal soul?
Yeah.
In order for us to be able to choose good over bad, we have to have an inclination, yetzahara, for the wrong things.
Agreed.
It's not that Hashem wants it. Hashem wants us to do good. Mm-hmm. So the focus is on the doing good. That's
right.
Where the energy is directed through the Seder Yisalshus, the creation process of a diminution of all the different godliness coming into it and clothing itself into the godly soul as it's manifest in the body.
Yeah.
What is the animal soul getting? The animal soul's getting, well, I want it to be there. It's a cog, it's a part, it's a detail in the entire creation.
It's a brick.
If I want this guy to be a Benoni, so that means he's got to have the ability to overcome evil. So therefore, his animal soul is there as part of the desire. It's a detail in desire.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, what is an animal soul? An animal soul is a soul. It has to fit into the composition of the body, so that it can function as well as the godly soul. Okay? So therefore, there's going to be, it's not just one simple entity, but as he says here, there's 10 parts to it. What are the 10 parts of the animal soul? Shehen sheva midos rois habois ma'arba yisod yisroi manal. Back in chapter 1, he said that there are 7 emotions,
right,
which are drawn from the 7 quote-unquote evil elements. Anger and arrogance from the anger and elements from the element of fire,
and
acquisition of pleasure from the element of water, and bragging and boasting and mockery and idle chatter from air, and depression and laziness from earth. Okay, so there are 7 emotions, the same labels: Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. Okay, and then and also the seichel hamalidin and lechalik l'shalish, and you have then the seichel which gives birth to those midos, to those attributes, which there are 3 that they're chachma bina v'das, that's chachma bina and das. What are they doing? Just like it is that the primary focus of the godly soul is to promulgate godliness. So the primary focus of the animal soul is to promulgate materialism. That's what its function is. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Wait. Okay, yeah. Okay.
And there's a difference in the variants because of how they work.
Okay.
The godly soul is primarily an intellectual entity. So the emphasis with the godly soul is Chochma, Bina, and Das. And the effect of Chochma, Bina, and Das is going to be a love of Hashem, a fear of Hashem, etc.
Uh-huh.
But the primary motivation in the godly soul is the intellect. The primary motivation in the animal soul is the emotion.
The emotion. Yes.
What's the intellect for? The intellect is there. How do I go about to go get that emotion?
Mm-hmm.
So you see the strong, that's why it's able to, there can be a fight, because the strength of the godly soul is the weakness of the animal soul, and the weakness of the godly soul is the strength of the animal soul. Because if it would be pitted one against the other straight,
there would be no
strength
contest.
Versus strength, weakness versus weakness, there'd be no contest. Godly soul would just blow it away.
Uh-huh.
You'd be walking around with a bunch of tzaddikim all over the place. The book would be not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but because there is this handicap, you might say, they're able to function opposite one to the other. And he says, for example, he explains, the intellect is the makar of the midos. The makar is the source of the emotions. Ki amidos lefi erech hasechel, because the emotions are comparable to the intellect. Like for example, ki akatan chayshek va'ayev dvarim kitanim upuchusi erech. A child desires and loves things of little worth. Lefi shesichle katan v'katzer lahasik dvarim yikarim yaseh mehem, because his intellect can't grasp anymore.
Right, okay.
The rabbi who got me involved with Yiddishkeit, Schomberg Gordon, tells a story that he went into Yechidus, I believe it was for his first son's wedding. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe it was for the first son's bar mitzvah. I'm not sure the ages of the kids.
Okay, all right.
But the youngest child, a girl, was just about 3 years old.
Mm.
So they all went in for Yechidus then.
Right.
The whole family went in for Yechidus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the Rebbe turned to this little kid and said, I'm going to give you some money so that you could give tzedakah.
Mm.
And the Rebbe gave the kid, he got very excited, the Rebbe's going to give me money. And the Rebbe gave the girl a dollar bill.
Mm-hmm.
The girl said, what's this? I thought you were going to give me money.
She was expecting a coin.
She was expecting a coin. So the Rebbe said, put that in your pocket. And he reached in and he gave her a nickel.
Right.
Because a nickel, she made her so happy she got a nickel.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. What did she know? She didn't know from dollar bills.
Right.
Okay. The came is kasim is katsa bedvarim ketanim. And so too also, kids get really angry at little things.
Right.
Yeah, and it's the flying of emotions by a kid. You have a 2-year-old. The 2-year-old falls down, and the kid is screaming his head off.
Mm.
You hand the kid a lollipop. Oh, he's in Gan Eden.
It's done, right?
He's in Gan Eden.
Right.
Okay? Your boss calls you in. You did this wrong, you did that wrong. This is terrible. The whole thing's a big mess. Da, da, da. You reach into your pocket and you hand him a lollipop.
You're fired.
If he suddenly says, a lollipop,
yes.
I suggest you go find yourself another job.
Yeah, exactly, right. Yeah.
Okay?
Indeed.
Because if an adult, it takes an adult a lot more to get angry.
Yes.
But once angered, it takes a lot more to be
more
appeased.
Right. Yes.
They came with Teferis, with Sharamides, and so it is with all the other emotions.
Right.
That it's all dependent upon the intellect. In fact, it's totally and completely dependent upon the intellect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let's say, for example, I don't know if I ever gave you the example before. You have a guy who's here for the Society of Automotive Engineering convention,
yes.
Which is there, held every year.
Right.
This guy's coming in from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? His English At best, wouldn't even be called pig English.
Right.
You know, so he gets out of the thing, he gets in a cab, he's got this address, he tries to say it, and he says to the guy, I want to go to the Society of Automotive Engineering convention.
Right.
And this cab driver, not understanding Japanese at all, understands, I want to go to Livernois and Fenkel. Okay? So he takes the guy to Livernois and Fenkel, and he drops him off in the middle of Detroit over there.
Perfect.
Okay? The guy gets out of, he says, here you are, here's your place. Now, the guy gets out of the car. Okay? What emotion is he feeling right now?
Terror.
Nope.
Confusion.
Confusion.
Confusion, actually. Absolute confusion.
Absolutely, totally confused, because right. What he's looking for is a convention.
Right.
And he doesn't see anything that looks like it could be a convention.
Correct.
Okay? Yeah. Your wife gets in a cab and says, I need to go to point A, and gets dropped off at Livernois and Fenkel.
Right.
What is she feeling?
Anger.
Absolute anger is what?
Anger.
But if the cab is going, terror.
Terror.
Absolutely. Okay, why? Because
she knows where she's
at. She knows where he is. The Japanese guy hasn't got a clue where he is. There's no understanding of the situation.
Correct.
All he knows is he's looking for a convention center, and
absolutely.
That gas station over there just doesn't look like a convention center.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, because he doesn't know.
Right.
So the emotions are totally and completely dependent upon
subjective
intellectual input.
Right, correct.
So he says, that's we're talking about the animal soul.
Right.
I always to give a caveat, the animal soul is not bad.
Correct statement.
The animal soul is there. If you didn't have an animal soul, you wouldn't get out of bed.
You'd be a bowl of jelly.
You couldn't function.
Yeah, you'd be
you wouldn't
a bowl
eat,
of jelly.
You wouldn't sleep.
You wouldn't do anything.
You couldn't do anything because it's the animal soul that's doing all of that.
Correct.
Now, you have the person has a Yetzirah. It's okay, the Yetzirah is bad. Okay, the Yetzirah ties in. I've been told that the Yetzirah was the intellect of the animal soul. That's the way it was described to me. But then in Maimorim from the Friedrich Rebbe, so he has something over there he calls the Nefesh HaBahamis.
Yes.
And what he does is he breaks it into Nefesh HaTevis, the natural soul, and the Nefesh HaSichlis,
right,
the intellectual soul.
The intellectual soul.
Okay, but he doesn't bring Yetzirah in either one of those.
Right, but Nefesh HaSichlis isn't evil.
No, it's not. That's the thing that says go learn a trade.
Yeah, right. It's just...
Right, because the godly soul can't function in this world.
Correct.
All the godly
correct.
Soul is want is right. wants is godliness.
Right.
Don't eat. Just godliness.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you got to have an animal soul in order to survive.
2 days later after you're dead, it didn't work.
That's right. You know, it's just your attitude, what you do with it. Like Hillel says that he used to say, stop his lecture and say, what can I do? I got to go feed the poor one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Referring he had to go take care of his animal soul, his body. You needed to get fed.
Right.
Okay, for the rest of us.
Yeah, we have to go feed our.
The rest of us.
We got to go feed the poor one
the
too.
The pure soul that you put in us.
Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
So we have a pure soul and it's stuck inside us.
Yeah.
So who's the us? Well, we're the animal soul.
Exactly.
Which really gets complicated in trying to figure out that when you're doing a mitzvah, what part of you is doing the mitzvah?
Yeah.
You know, you get up in the morning and you go to daven. I happen to like to go daven. So does it my godly soul likes to daven? Does my animal soul likes to go daven? Does my body like to go daven? It's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not going to start patting myself on the back and say, hey, I got this whole levavacha thing going on over here. No, I'm not going to go there. Okay? But if it would have been really... the last thing I did in becoming from was to put on tefillin.
Uh-huh.
Because the whole idea of putting on tefillin was so irksome to me. It just bothered me so much.
Really?
Yes. I just did not like the idea of putting on tefillin because I put it on before I was from.
Uh-huh.
I put it on for my whole year of my bar mitzvah.
Right. Okay.
My uncle gave me my grandfather's tefillin and said, you can have them if you put them on every day.
Uh-huh.
So for a year I put them on, and after a year I figured, I'm not into this anymore.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was trying to get them on and off as quick as possible.
Right.
You know, timing them. If I could get it on and off under 3 minutes, it was like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Uh-huh.
So I figured, what do I need it for? What am I doing? You know, this is ridiculous.
Right.
So they got thrown into a drawer.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then it was the last thing to come out of the drawer.
Right, fair enough.
You know, kosher Shabbos, that didn't bother me because I didn't have any connection with that. So
right.
The last absolute thing was the tefillin.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Okay, so now I like putting on tefillin. So yeah. Is it my animal soul, my godly soul, my nefesh ha-sichlis, the nefesh ha-tefis, my goof? What is, you know, I'm not analyzing
just
it.
Yes.
I'm just doing it.
Just yes.
Okay. The Eser Ruchinus Elu, these 10 attributes of the animal soul, Hatomeus, the impure ones. Kisha'ad mechashiv behem, when a person thinks about them, I medaber, or he speaks about them, I isa, or he does something having to do with the forces of evil. Hari machshavta shebameyach, dibura shebapeh, v'koyach ha'maisa shebayada v'sharevarim. The thought which is in his head, the speech which is in his mouth, and the power of motion which is in his hands and his other body parts, nikraim levushim misavo la'eser b'chinas elu, are called filthy garments to these 10 aspects. Right. Just like it is that the godly soul has 10 attributes in order to should somehow be able to manifest within the body. And then it is absolutely able to affect the body through thought, speech, and action. So it's the same thing also with the animal soul. That it has to go through a process of 10 specific levels of desire, which enclose themselves into three garments. And they're called Levushi Mesaba, and based on a pasuk from a haftarah from a couple of weeks ago. And it says, I doubt he has it footnoted, but it says there was Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, met an angel, and the angel told him, take off your filthy garments.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the angel referring to? He's talking to a Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is like, you know, the leader of the Jewish people. He didn't walk around with spaghetti sauce on his shirt.
Exactly, yeah.
So, Levushe Mesaba, referring to the thought, speech, and action.
Right.
As being the filthy garments. And indeed, when a person, the ramifications of it, when he talks about it, I'll talk about this in chapter 7, chapter 8, just a little bit. The ramifications are that when a person thinks, speaks, or does something in conjunction with the forces of evil, so he's making his garments schmutzig.
Yeah, sure. Makes sense.
Okay, as it says, for example, what was the incident? When Nadav and Avihu died, they continued on with the dedication ceremony of the Mishkan.
Right.
And the chatas, which was to have been eaten by Aaron and his two sons,
right,
was burned.
Was burned, right.
Totally.
Right.
Moshe got angry at them.
Right.
And he was yelling at Elazar and Isamar, what did you burn it for? You're supposed to eat it. Uh-huh. And they just kept quiet. Comes along, Hashem says, and says, listen, they're the status of an oinin. An oinin is not allowed to eat a korban.
Uh-huh.
Why is it Moshe didn't know that? Moshe taught them that.
Right.
So how is it that Moshe didn't know, or how Moshe didn't understand why it was that they burned the carbon? Is because he got angry. And when he got angry,
he lost his understanding.
It put a blotch, like a dead spot, you might say,
right,
in his intellect, that he forgot the halacha.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it happens, I've been talking with mental health professionals, psychiatrists.
Okay.
That indeed, when a person gets angry, all these emotions are very heavy things. When a person gets very heavily emotional, there's all kinds of things going on in the brain.
Okay.
So when a person gets angry, there are what we would probably call caustic chemicals released by the brain.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. And these chemicals will have an effect on a person's memory.
Interesting.
So immediate, like by Moshe? No, but Moshe was very sensitive.
Sure.
As soon as he got angry, boom.
Yeah.
He was affected by it.
Of course.
You know, we know, for example, that a person's stress is like a direct link with cancer.
Really?
You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Stress
is a direct link.
Direct link with cancer.
Really?
Yep. Because the body is trying to fight the stress. And instead of there's a person has, you know, they say, why can't they have a test where they'll find, like, you know, microscopic cancer cells and get rid of them? It's because our bodies are full of them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And what happens is,
they haven't collected.
Yeah, the body gets rid of them. on its own. It has the antibody, says, oh, you don't belong here. Out you go.
You're out of here, yeah.
Okay, what happens is if the body's too busy fighting stress,
it can't fight the cell.
It can't. You can only fight one thing at a time.
Yeah. Or it.
So it can't fight.
You don't have enough to fight all fronts at the correct equally.
So that allows the cancer cells to grow.
Hmm. Interesting. Stress.
Hmm. Okay, and it's all the effect of all of this emotional stuff going on.
Interesting.
He talks about fighting stress in chapter 26.
Hmm.
Makes you just want to go on vacation, eh?
Well, at least... No, you know what?
Don't go so fast on the list of the 10 most stressful things. Going on vacation is number 7.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, right. But buying a house is number... Building a house is like number 2 or something.
Yeah, yeah. Death, divorce, moving, but, yes.
Right, yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Right.
Right. Huh. In truth, the more often than not, the things that we become stressed about are the things we can't control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our desire to
control them
that creates the stress.
Correct. And if we can resign ourselves, he says in chapter 26, if you resign yourself that it's happening,
Bashkapratis, right,
then there's no stress.
It's done. Right.
There's no stress.
Right. You have to resign yourself as to who's in control.
Correct.
At all times.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's called these three garments become the filthy garments, la'esed b'china seilah, on the third line.
Mm-hmm.
To these 10 attributes, hatameis, which are impure, shemis labeshes b'hem b'shas maiso v'divra makshava, that the animal soul encloses itself in them at the time when a person is doing, speaking, or thinking.
Right.
What do we mean? V'heim kol hamaisim asher nasim tachas hashemes asher hevel hakol hevel v'rois ruach. They are all the deeds which are done under the sun, that they're all empty deeds, and they're just the English ruination of spirit. Mm-hmm. They're just bad. These are a shattering of the spirit. Okay, meaning to say that the Alter Rebbe is very, very exact. Either something, he's going to express this more later in the next chapter, either something is holy,
right,
or it's unholy.
Okay.
And there is no middle.
No gray.
Absolutely none.
Mm-hmm.
It's either it's holy and it's doing what it's serving Hashem,
right,
or it's unholy, it's not serving Hashem.
Fair enough. Interesting.
Okay, again, the clip is Noga. What about a cow? Cow's eating grass. Well, cow's eating grass the best it can, so that's fine. Okay, then what happens is, what do you do with it that determines whether it's going to be holy or not?
Yeah, it's only us that determines holy or not holy.
Correct. And that's the next chapter. Exactly. As he says, and also, all the thoughts and all the speech which are not for Hashem, for His will and for His service.
Mm.
That's a lot of stuff. If it's not serving Hashem, it's Sitra Achra.
Gee whiz.
This chapter has sent many people away.
Yeah, well, that would be about 99.9999% of everything.
Stuff going on in the world, exactly.
Everything that I
do. Zel pirish lush and sitra achra. This is what the word other side means. Pirish thad achra she'en esad kedusha. It means this other side which is not from the side of holiness.
Right.
Now, so we have something we're defining it as a negation of.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we negating? What's tzad kedusha? What's holiness? In other words, if we'll understand what the definition of holiness is, and we'll say unholiness is not that.
Yeah.
What's kedusha? Ein Allah hashorash v'hamshachas mekedusha shel yisbarach shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Anything which conveys godliness is called holy.
Yeah. Anything that conveys godliness. And that can be anything and everything.
That could be anything.
That can be anything and everything.
And he says, V'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoyre Ela Al Davar Shebatel Etzlo Yisbarach. What conveys godliness is something which is nullified to Hashem.
Abnegates itself completely.
Like, for example, in actuality, the angels, that they have no freedom of choice, and they are totally and completely nullified in their existence to Hashem. So therefore, they can sing Kadosh, 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 and I am a Kaim Kavayde, where is the place of your glory?
Right.
Ubein Bekayach, or whether in potential. Kechol Ish Yisrael Lamatish Bekayach Liyayis Batal Mamish Legabe Kadosh Baruch Hu Mesiyas Nafshal Kadosh Hashem. Or whether it's potentially each Jew down here in this terrestrial world has the ability to become absolutely nullified in their existence before Hashem.
Right.
How does a person lose their existence? Because as soon as you say, I am nullified, you're not.
Exactly, because you put the word I.
You put the word I there. I is capitalized. You're all Metzius. But a person who suffers martyrdom, Chas V'Shalom, there's no more I left. Right. That person is totally and completely given themselves over to Hashem.
Correct.
That's the ultimate. That's why it is that Rabbi Akiva said, Masa Yagiya Maisav Lav, Bel Maisav Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. When are my deeds going to reach the deeds of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov?
Yeah.
Because no matter how much self-sacrifice that he had, for 80 years, he did nothing but devote himself to Torah and mitzvahs.
Right.
And he was saying, this is nothing.
Right.
Because I'm still saying, I'm doing this. I'm the teacher.
Right.
I'm the big rabbi. Mm-hmm. When am I going to be able to do it?
Mm.
And when they raked his skin off of his body, he was smiling.
Right.
And his students ask, V'kulei hai, so much so? What are you smiling about? Must hurt to get your skin raked off your body. Must hurt a whole lot.
I can't.
And he said, my whole life I'm asking for this. Now that I got it, I shouldn't be happy? Comes in the category, be careful what you pray for. You might get it.
Exactly.
Okay, I don't recommend martyrdom at home, folks. No, don't try this at home.
Yeah, that's we're on the job.
So that's how a person can be totally and completely given over to Hashem. But it is now in our days. Does that mean that the only way a person can be buttled to Hashem is through getting themselves killed? That's the ultimate, yes. That's called Mesiras Nefesh.
Right.
But a Nefesh, we know, is made up of five parts. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida.
Mm.
So getting oneself killed and suffering absolute martyrdom is the Mesiras Nefesh of Yechida, Sheba Nefesh.
Mm.
You know what Yechida is. Yechida is the connection that connects between the essence of our soul and the essence of God.
Right.
You also have Chaye, Neshama, Ruach, and Nefesh.
Right.
So in our generation, for example, we're going to have Mesiras Nefesh at the level of Nefesh. Nefesh is an action.
Right.
It may sound petty, but to say I'm only going to have two brownies instead of five. There's a plate sitting in front of you with five brownies on them.
Right.
And you want to eat the whole plate of brownies.
Right.
And you say to yourself, I'm serving Hashem, I'm only going to eat two brownies. And the rest, I'm not going to eat.
Yeah.
You're sacrificing yourself? You are indeed sacrificing yourself. You're sacrificing everything that your whole essence, basically, because you really want to eat those three other brownies. But you say to yourself, I'm not going to do it. That's Mesiras Nefesh and a level of Nefesh.
Mm-hmm.
When a person, he talks about later in chapter 24,
mm-hmm.
a person wants to tell a really good joke. And he knows everybody's going to laugh at him, and he's going to be the center of attention. And what does he do? It says, "Balum picha miladaber." He closes his mouth from talking.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Okay, I don't need to have everybody laughing and making me the center of attention. I could do it very easily, but I'm going to serve God at this moment."
Mm-hmm.
And so that then becomes his level of Mesiras Nefesh and the level of Ruach.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with thought,
right,
which is a level of neshama. A person could really sit, pops into his mind a really geshmak machshava zara. This thing, he could sit and think about it for hours. It's so delicious.
Yeah.
And he tells himself, what am I doing? I shouldn't be thinking about such things. Mm-hmm. And same thing also with a person's desires. Desires is the word, is the hardest, and what we're able to control.
Agreed.
Because to the person to say, I don't want that,
is a lie.
Correct. I really do want it.
Sure, of course I want it.
But I don't, I'm
but
telling
I'm
myself,
choosing myself not.
I don't want it. And it is possible, he says in chapter 14,
right,
that it is possible if a person's going to talk themselves into it enough,
to where it becomes not a desire,
they will tell them, they will talk to themselves and say, I really don't want that.
It'll become repugnant.
Who are the, which people are the most militant anti-smokers?
The people who used to smoke.
Former smokers.
Right, sure, of course.
Okay, these are people who are addicted to
it. Yeah, sure.
And now they're thinking to themselves, I used to be addicted to it and what I had to go through. And now this is, they are repulsed by the smell of cigarette smoke.
Right.
Okay, because they've changed their desire. They do not want, it's not that they're saying, you know, listen, I really want to. But
they don't want the want.
That's right, that's naffish. To say, yeah, I really want to smoke, but I'm not going to, that's naffish.
No.
They don't even want to.
Right. They don't want even. They don't even want the.
They don't even want to want it. Exactly.
Right, exactly. So, yeah.
So that then it becomes mesiris nefesh.
Sure.
Okay. Or you could do like Rabbi Lipsker's famous line: "You're only going to learn if you really want to learn. You have to want to learn."
There you go.
So you're also it. You're sacrificing yourself. How many things you could be doing instead of learning? I really want to learn.
Right.
Is also. So these are different levels of mesiris nefesh that the soul has.
Right.
And a person doesn't have to give up his life to suffer martyrdom to be counted as a person who is meiser nefesh,
mm-hmm,
who's nullifying himself.
Right.
And even though a person could say, is saying, well, I really want to eat it, but I'm not going to. So the I is still there.
Sure.
But what is he doing? He's saying, I get my I out of the way.
Right.
He can't, you're right. There's a big difference between not eating three brownies and getting oneself killed. I will not take that away from anybody. And I don't know the reward. It says the reward of a person who suffers martyrdom is they have a place reserved for them in the highest levels of Gan Eden.
Yeah.
I don't know what's around for a person who doesn't eat three brownies. I'm not going to paskin. That's not my deal. Because later on in chapter 29, he talks about a person who does just that. God says there's two things that I love. A person who can convert darkness to light, and a person who can subjugate the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, so that's the spicy one. Converting darkness to light is sweet.
Mm.
Anybody can handle sweet. Spicy now, you got to be careful what you do with it, you know, you got to know how to handle it, you got to prepare it just the right way.
Yeah.
And everybody, when they're sticking it in their mouth and their sinuses are getting blown apart, then they're saying, oh, geschmack.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it the wrong way, you know, everybody goes, this is noxious.
Got to go by, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So. What time are we at? Let's stop here. It's a good place.
Okay, it's good. Yeah, good. Go ahead.